Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, the Song of the Vineyard. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, but briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paula. Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. It reads, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. This is the word of God for the people.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my creator, my redeemer, and my sustainer. Amen. Amen. And so, yes, church, I missed you last week. I know you had Pastor Hazel, which possibly the missing was only one way. I missed you, but having Hazel fill this pulpit is a blessing. I had lunch with her on Thursday, and we talked about her preaching here last week. She told me how she was terrified because I had promised her a tape recorder, and that she was very thankful that there was no tape recorder, and I had to tell her, unfortunately, there was, and Carolyn had it. And so we did get a recording of the sermon, and while I can't post it online for our podcast, because the quality's not ideal, I was able to hear her sermon, and I was able to hear how she preached on Hosea, and God bless Hazel, and I love it when Hazel comes to preach for me. I don't have to explain everything all over again, which is a good thing this morning, because we can dive into Isaiah. But I did want to say thank you to Hazel, and thank you to all of you who were here for her and helped and listened and gave her praise. And she said I was giving her a big head. And I said, after 40 years, you deserve a big head, because your preaching is on point. So Isaiah, the text we're in this morning, we've gone past Hosea from last week. We're still in the divided kingdoms in our big God story that's in your blue bulletin insert now. I did get colored paper so we could differentiate which is the bulletin and which is the bulletin insert. We're in Isaiah. We're in one of the major prophets, one of the big prophets in the Bible, and a text that we've heard many times in chapter 11 that we always hear for Advent. We always hear of the coming of the Messiah. And so today we started in Isaiah 5, which is a text that I think is a little unfamiliar to us. And it's unfamiliar for a couple of reasons that we're going to see, and it really has to do with who Isaiah was and who he was preaching to and what was going on in the world at the time. Hosea was a northern king, kingdom prophet. So was Elijah. They were both of the northern kingdom. Isaiah is our first southern kingdom prophet. He's the first prophet talking to Jerusalem and talking to the people in Judah. This is about 20 years after Hosea. So if you remember, Hazel's sermon from last week was Hosea. About 20 years have passed, and we come to the king Uzziah. And in King Uzziah, Isaiah is preaching to. A lot of rhyming happening, Hosea and Isaiah, which are two different prophets, but I'm going to say both their names about a dozen times, so bear with me. Isaiah is a southern kingdom prophet. Isaiah is preaching to Jerusalem and preaching to the southern kingdom. Isaiah is talking about the sins of the northern kingdom and the sins of the southern kingdom. Isaiah is preaching to this king and preaching to Israel during battles and during wars, and telling them what is to come. What is to come to these kingdoms, the eventual coming of Assyria to the northern kingdom, the destruction of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians, and then the eventual destruction of the southern kingdom to the Babylonians. And then during the time of Isaiah, during the study of Isaiah, during his book that he's preaching, the southern kingdom does fall to the Babylonians, and Isaiah starts preaching to a people in darkness. This is the Isaiah we know from Advent. This is the Isaiah we're used to. The coming of the one who will save us. That's later in the book. That's in chapters 36 to 66. In Isaiah. But for right now, we're in the beginning of his prophecy. We're in the beginning of his time in Israel. We're in the very beginning where he is preaching the destruction that is to come, which is what we see in chapter 5. God has built a vineyard, Isaiah says. God has started a vineyard, and it was beautiful. It sat on the side of a hill. It had fertile ground. God cleared away the stones and planted only the best vines, which is what Paula read this morning. He ordered them beautifully. He had the most wonderful vineyard that can be imagined, kind of like Jessica and Dane's wedding, which was held in a vineyard back in June. He cleared the vines. He set up a wall. He set up a watchtower to take care of his vines. And yet, all that came out was bad fruit. One translation says, the only thing that came up was wild grapes. A better translation from the Hebrew is, the only thing that came up were rotten grapes. Were disgusting grapes. Were awful grapes. That is only what comes up from God's vineyard. And so what will God do to his vineyard? That's the question Isaiah is asking. What will God do? God created this beautiful, wonderful vineyard, and all that comes up is awful, disgusting, rotten grapes. And so what will God do? What do you do when you pour your soul out into something and all you get is rotten flesh? And so God will take away the wall. God will take away the hedge. God will destroy the vineyard, Isaiah writes. Destroy what was once beautiful and a perfect vineyard. Weeds and thorns will grow over, and God will hold back the rain so that the vineyard will turn into nothing, into a wasteland. And just to be clear, and Isaiah wanted to underline this point, in verse 7, Isaiah writes the following. It reads, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. God looked for justice, but saw bloodshed. God looked for righteousness, but heard cries of distress." Isaiah is being very clear in chapter 7, this is Israel. And so the question I have this morning, when I read that verse, God looks for righteousness and finds bloodshed, for justice and hears cries of distress, Is that only for Israel, or is that for us this morning? I'm from a small town in South Jersey called Ocean City, New Jersey. And it's not often you see news from that region, except for maybe Atlantic City. But in the news this week, I saw a news report from Pleasantville High School. And it was on the heels of a news report I saw from California of two more school shootings this year. And Pleasantville's was at a football game. God looks for righteousness and finds bloodshed. He looks for justice and only hears cries of distress. Church, we have failed our students. And this is not the first time we have failed them. When I was in high school, I remembered lockdown drills, where the teacher would lock us in the room and hide us from sight of the window. I remember bomb threats, where we would be evacuated from the school and sent to the bleachers. Violence in our schools is nothing new, but I think we have become desensitized to it. I think we have stopped listening to what happens when children are crying out in distress, when all we see in our schools is bloodshed. The kind of terror that our students go into school with is not justice and not righteousness that God is looking for. And so Isaiah says, "Make no mistake, Israel, you are the vineyard. God is disappointed, and God needs to start again." So I know I said that I wouldn't have to explain Hazel's preaching, and I won't, but I was lamenting to Bible study this week that I was disappointed not to take a crack at Hosea. The Hosea text that she preached on last week is difficult and wonderful and awful and horrible and complicated, and all I wanted to do is take a crack at it. But it's kind of like the vineyard today. How do we handle God's anger? Why does God destroy everything he built? Why does God destroy the vineyard? Why would God abandon us, was the question from last week in Hosea's text. When I listened to Hazel's sermon, I heard that she used my third grade youth group explanation of the Bible. And I think it's important for me to retell anyway, because I love doing it and I haven't been able to in church yet. In the beginning, God creates humanity. God says, "I love you and you are to take care of this earth. And the only thing you can't do is this one thing. Don't do that one thing." And within a week, the people come back to God and say, "God, you know that thing we weren't supposed to do? We did it." And God sighs and says, "Come on, guys. It was one thing." And he punishes them and he forgives them. And then we fast forward and we see Abraham. And I mean, even before that, we see Cain and Abel. But let's fast forward to Abraham. And God tells Abraham, "Don't do that thing." Within a week, Abraham comes back and says, "God, you know that thing I wasn't supposed to do? I did it." And God sighs and says, "Come on." And throughout the entirety of the Bible, and I don't think we can go a chapter in the Bible without a time where God is saying, "Don't do something." And the people come back and say, "God, we did that thing we weren't supposed to do." And so time and time again, chapter and chapter again, God punishes us and then forgives us. Well, we will try better. And eventually the people come to God, and without fail they say, "That thing we were supposed to do, we did it one more time." And so the Hosea text last week, the Isaiah text this week, they're both part of this story. Both part of the people being told not to do something, and all they do is that thing. And so in Hosea, it's interesting to watch the scripture, and it's interesting to watch what God is saying, because God is like a parent at the dinner table. Their child is screaming and yelling, "I don't want to eat those peas." And finally, God slams his hand on the table and says, "If you don't want to eat those peas, then you're going to starve. You're going to starve, and I'm going to walk away." And by the time God gets to the kitchen door, he turns around and comes back to the table and says, "Just one more bite. Maybe I'll put some butter and some salt on those peas. Maybe you'll like it then." That's what always worked for me. And so in chapter 5, that is what's happening. Isaiah is very clear. God created this vineyard. He created a beautiful and perfect vineyard for us to live in. And all that we are doing is giving him wild grapes. All that we are producing is sour and disgusting and rotten grapes. If you're not going to eat your peas, then you can starve, God says. All I'm going to see is bloodshed, and all I'm going to hear is cries of distress, then I will tear down this vineyard. If you want to starve, go for it. And thankfully, the story doesn't end there. Thankfully, we read chapter 11 this morning. In Hosea, we get to the very end where God's anger turns. This morning, it comes in a new chapter. Isaiah tells the people of Israel that a new branch is coming, that a new stump is coming, a new shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. For the past 18 months, I've been driving to this church at least 5 times a week. It's at least twice a week, but it feels like 5 times a week sometimes. And I take 57. Sometimes I take Mountain View Road because I like the curves. But usually I take 57. And right out in front of the Franklin Township Municipal Building, I've been passing it for 18 months now, there's this tree that the power company had kind of trimmed off. Has anyone seen this tree? You probably have and just didn't think about it. I did because it's interesting to me. This tree that was probably 50 feet high, and the power company trimmed it down to 20 feet. Trimmed off all the branches, trimmed off all the leaves, trimmed off everything around it, and all that's left is a 20-foot high stump in the middle of this field next to the Franklin Township Municipal Building. And what's interesting about that stump, two things. One, it's not like a traditional knee-high stump that you trip over in the dark. This thing is twice as tall as I am. The other interesting thing about this stump, and if you're going eastbound on 57 this morning, look at it, is that all over this stump, all over this 20-foot high piece of wood that is stuck in the ground, are all these little branches that are shooting off of it. It looks ugly. It looks awful. It does not look good. I looked at it this morning, and I wish I had taken a picture. It looks awful. Why in the world didn't the power company dig up the stump? That's what I've been asking for the past 18 months. Why in the world is that stump still there, and why is new life coming out of it, and how ugly does it look? Israel is the stump. That's what Isaiah is preaching this morning. Israel is this stump, 20 feet tall, ugly as all get out. And yet there are new branches coming out of it. Branches as thick as my wrist and as small as my fingers. Branches shooting out of it that had leaves up until about a week ago. Ugly leaves, awful looking leaves. That is this stump outside of the Franklin Township Municipal Building. Thankfully here, Bruce has cut down all the ugly trees around our church. I think we got one or two left that Larry told me on Tuesday. But one went from that stump, from that 20-foot high log in the middle of a field, little branches are shooting off of it. That is what Isaiah is saying, and what he says is from one of those branches, fruit will appear. From one of those branches will come the Messiah. Not from King David. We got to go further back than David, to David's father. From the stump of Jesse will a new branch come out. And it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be easy. It's going to look like that stump outside of the municipal building. It's going to be ugly and awful. But when it comes, Isaiah tells us, it will be magnificent. Now, it's easy for us as Easter Christians, as a term I like to use, it's easy for us as Christians after the resurrection to know that we have to wait on that branch because it's Jesus. It's easy for us to say, well, the Messiah is coming and the Israelites need to get their act together. It's easy to say that the Israelites should have been more faithful, but remember, it was 700 years from the words of Isaiah until the birth of Jesus Christ. 700 years, folks, some of us have trouble waiting 2 months until Christmas, let alone 700 years. I'm already seeing decorations up as I drive through town sometimes. I'm one of those houses, but don't worry about that right now. 700 years for Israel. The Assyrians are coming. The Babylonians are coming. Israel will go into the bottom of the pit before Jesus comes. And for us, it's easy to say, wait a minute. Slow down a minute. Be more faithful. But are we that much different than Israel? Does the fact that our Savior lives give us an excuse on not to fix things in our world? How is that the good news? If we're in the big God story, if we've been slowly walking from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament until the coming of Jesus, and we are walking in the same season, we are waiting just like Israel is waiting, it's easy to read Isaiah and say, just be patient. But for us, for Broadway in 2019, when we look at the vineyard, when we look at the state of the world, are we in the age of the vineyard full of sour grapes? Or are we in the age of the branch that is giving off fruit? Is the world the vineyard that is devastated? Or is the world that has fruit coming from branches? I looked for justice and found bloodshed, said God. I look in the newspaper and I see bloodshed. I don't think we're in the land of the branch with fruit. I don't think we are acting as we are supposed to act. I don't think we are living and acting out our lives in a place that has fruit. I think we are living in a world that needs to be cleaned. I think we are waiting and living in a world that we are like the stump. Ugly and dirty and awful, and life is trying to come up, but none of those branches outside of the Franklin Township Municipal Building are holding fruit. I think it's easy for us to wait for Christmas. I think it's easy for us to wait on Jesus, to say that the world is too messy for us to do anything of. That Jesus is the one who's God, that Jesus is the one who will judge with mercy. Let him fix the world. The problem is there are people, and they are children, who are dying in our world today. How are we fruit to a world of devastation? Because remember, when Jesus comes, he comes to usher in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Not just for when we die, but right here in Warren County and in the world today, Jesus Christ shows us how to be salt and how to be light to a world that needs it. We can't wait for Jesus. We can't wait until Christmas. We can't wait until Easter morning. We have to be the branch that holds fruit today. We have to be the ones who stand up to the wicked. We have to be the ones who stand up for justice. It's on us. It's on us as Methodists. It's on us as Christians. It's on us as people who follow the living God. It's on us to love and support our children, to love and support our students, to stand up to gun violence. God saw bloodshed. God heard the cry of those who were crying out in desperation. God saw the injustice and destroyed a vineyard. And so it's up to us to stop the bloodshed this morning. It's up to us to help the students. It's us to help those who are crying out. It's up to us to bear fruit, not to be dirty, rotten, wild grapes. It's up to us. We don't have to wait 700 years for Jesus. We don't have to wait 2 months until Christmas. Today we can be a branch to the world.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.